Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter 11, and it will be covering the area of defensive weapons. Our objectives are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to describe your defensive spiritual weapons. You're going to be able to give a scriptural reference that lists the armor of God. You're going to be able to identify each piece of the armor of God. And you're going to be able to explain the function of each piece of the armor of God. Our key verse from the Articles of War is this. It's found in Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Introduction. You have learned that the great spiritual battle in which you are engaged cannot be fought with natural weapons. It must be fought both offensively and defensively with spiritual weapons. You already studied God's battle plan in chapter 9, and you learned the basic battle strategy, which includes the Word of God, delegated power and authority, prayer, fasting, the keys of the kingdom, and the name of Jesus. In addition to these basic warfare strategies, the Bible reveals that you have a whole arsenal of spiritual weapons. And in this chapter, you will learn about your defensive spiritual weapons. In the next lesson, you will study offensive weapons. Defensive strategies. The Bible teaches the following defensive actions must be taken by the believer. First off, we must submit and resist. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Note the order in the sense, first submit, then resist. Many people skip over the first step of submission and they try resisting the devil, only to discover it does not work. Defeat results when you act independently of God. It is the humble, not the arrogant and self-confident, who overcome the enemy. You will be able to resist Satan only as you submit to God. And to resist means to stand firm against and oppose the enemy at every point. The scripture does not teach us to go looking for demons, but resist them when they approach us. Resist Satan steadfastly in faith. We find that in 1 Peter 5, 8-9, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you, brethren, that are in the world. So, to resist in faith means to resist on the authority of God's word. And don't give place to Satan. Do not leave room for Satan to operate in your life. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Recover yourself from satanic snares. You must recover yourself from satanic snare by applying biblical strategies. 2 Timothy 3:26 says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We must abstain from fleshly lusts. To abstain means to keep yourself from something and refuse to do it. In 1 Peter 2:11 it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Stand your ground. Ephesians 6:13-14 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. So when you stand your ground, you are defending that which is rightfully yours. Beware of evil, shun it, and put it off. You want to go ahead and study Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. The putting off of all the evil behavior listed there is defensive warfare. It says, don't be led aware, don't be led aware by error of the wicked. 2 Peter 3:17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know that these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness." And in 2 Timothy 2:16 it says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." To shun means to avoid, to turn away from. You should avoid every evil thing related to the enemy. Try the spirits. Trying the spirits prevents deception. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." To try means to test. You're not operating in unbelief when you try the spirits of those with whom you come in contact or operation in around you. If they are true, they will pass the test. Shun false teachers. When you receive false teachers into your home, you become partakers of their evil. Defend your home from enemy attack. It says in 2 John 10:11, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." You also want to lay aside worldly affairs. You are to lay aside worldly affairs which prevent you from being a good soldier. To lay aside is defensive action that you must take. We find in Hebrews 12:1 it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And in Hebrews 12:1 it says, "Wherefore, seeing ye are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." In James 1:21 it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Next, you want to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on indicates actions you must take. The basic description of the armor of God is given in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. So you want to read that passage in your Bible. Paul introduces the subject of warfare by emphasizing that the battle is not a natural one, and natural weapons are ineffective. Spiritual battles must be fought with spiritual weapons, and Paul describes the armor to be used for spiritual warfare. And he says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. It says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So the purpose of the armor is to be able to stand against the wiles and the deceits and the cunning craftiness of the enemy, Satan. It is your responsibility to put on that armor. In Ephesians 6:11 it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Then Romans 13:14 it says, "But put on ye the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And then lastly in Romans 13:12 it says, "The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." The phrase "put on" means to put on once and for all. Your spiritual armor is not like an athletic uniform that you put on game time. You put on your armor once and for all, and you leave it on the rest of your life. Just as a soldier in the battlefield does not take his armor off and on, you will not lay down your armor until you go be with the Lord. If you do not have your armor on at all times, you are vulnerable to the enemy. It is wise to check often that each piece of your spiritual armor is still in place. The first division of armor covers three things you have done in the past. Having put indicates something you have already done if you are a believer. Having your loins girt about with truth is found in verse 14. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 14. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is verse 15. The second division includes things which are to be put on in the present. Taking the shield of faith, verse 16. Taking the helmet of salvation, verse 17. Taking the sword of the Spirit, verse 17. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul emphasizes putting on the whole armor of God. Some of us are preoccupied with but one piece of God's armor to the extent that the others are neglected. You must have the whole armor, or you may find yourself being an expert in the use of the sword of the Spirit, but still be defeated because you have forgotten the shield of faith. The belt. The first piece of armor to be buckled on is the girdle or belt of truth. In the natural world, a suit of armor was attached to the belt, which held other pieces of armor in place. The truth of God's word is the spiritual belt to which all other pieces of armor are attached. Satan's first attack on man was on the truth. We found that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 through 4, it says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." So the truth will protect you from lies and doctrinal errors of the enemy. Truth is the undergirding of your spiritual armor. You are to have your loins and your spiritual vital organs girt or covered with truth. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's Ephesians 6:14. So what is truth? Jesus says, "I am the truth," John 14:6. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, John 14:17. God is truth, Romans 3:4. God's word is truth, according to Psalms 119:151. And the gospel is truth, according to Colossians 1:5. Next we have the breastplate. In the natural world, the breastplate covered the upper body of the warrior to protect vital organs, such as the heart, lungs, etc. The spiritual breastplate of righteousness does not refer to your righteousness, but to the covering of the righteousness of Christ. In Philippians 3:9, it says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And you do not stand on your own merits, you stand in Christ. You cannot face the enemy without the protection of the righteousness of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6:7, it says, "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." So the righteousness of Christ protects the spiritual vital organs from attacks of Satan and from unrighteousness. The breastplate of righteousness must be buckled on to the belt of truth. Next we have the shoes. There are many types of shoes for different purposes. Some are for walking, others are for specific sports activities. A soldier's shoes are another kind. They are shoes designed to warfare. A soldier who cannot advance on the battlefield is disabled in warfare. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace indicates a readiness to advance in the spiritual realm. These spiritual shoes protect you from the temptation of the enemy who would lead you in the wrong paths. They indicate your willingness to do every good work and to spread the gospel to all nations. These spiritual shoes will also enable you to stand against the enemy, as Paul encourages you to do in Ephesians 6:14. Next, we have the shield. In the natural world, the shield was used to provide protection for the warrior's entire body, and your spiritual shield is called the shield of faith. There are several types of faith mentioned in the Bible, and they are saving faith, the gift of faith, the spiritual fruit of faith, the word of faith, which is used in relation to the shield of faith, which speaks of defensive faith. The faith is a firm trust and confidence in God, which protects your whole being. It protects you from flaming missiles of doubts and unbelief sent by the enemy. The shield of faith is a calm and confident trust in God, which deflects all the fiery arrows the enemy sends from their target. The shield of faith is the constant application of God's word to the issues of life. It is a faith that enables you to overcome the evil forces of the world. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So combined with the love of God, faith is the most effective. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, "Putting on the breastplate of faith and love." It is faith based on truth. Psalms 91:4 says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." It is faith based on salvation. In Psalms 18:35, it says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." So without faith, you have no grasp of truth. Without faith, you cannot receive salvation. Without faith, you cannot go forth with the gospel of peace. Without faith, you cannot claim the righteousness of Christ and effectively use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Faith is not assumption or presumption. It is fact based upon God's word. You can increase your faith by hearing God's word, according to Romans 10:17. Acting upon your present faith, Romans 1:17, and seeking God, Hebrews 12:2. Next, we have the helmet. The helmet of salvation is not something you put on when you get saved. Remember, we are dealing with spiritual armor here. It's assumed that you are a believer and a member of God's army before you start putting on the armor. The helmet of salvation represents a regenerated mind. It represents a transformed, renewed thought life. You will learn later in this course that Satan deliberately fights for control of the mind. An undisciplined mind makes the Christian warrior easy prey, sinful deception of the enemy. Paul speaks of the helmet as the hope of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, salvation, when properly experienced and understood, protects your mind. Salvation embraces the past, present, and future. You have been saved from the guilt and penalty of past sin. You have been saved from the power of sin in the present, and the hope of salvation refers to salvation in the future tense. It is a final salvation from the presence of sin when Jesus returns. The hope of this future salvation strengthens your mind against the attacks of Satan. You have a confident hope in the future because God is working out his purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, it says, "According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." Then we have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It is both defensive and offensive weapon. You've already learned how Jesus used the word in defense against the attacks of Satan. In the next lesson, you're going to learn how this weapon is used offensively. And here is a prayer. After describing the Christian soldier's armor, Paul comments in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So as you learned when you studied God's battle plan, prayer and its associated practice of fasting are also powerful spiritual weapons. These two weapons can be used both offensively and defensively. So you want to go ahead and check out the summary in your book under the armor of God here. And now I'm going to explain them here. First off, the girdle or belt of truth protects from deception of Satan, which can be led to unrighteousness, which is sin. The breastplate of righteousness protects from unrighteousness or sin, which leads to confusion. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace protect from spiritual confusion, which results in unbelief. And the shield of faith protects against unbelief, which results in bondage. The helmet of salvation protects from bondage. And lastly, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is used in both offensive and defensive weapons. So note the downward progression. One is not protected by the armor of God. Deception leads us to unrighteousness and sin, which always results in confusion. Confusion results in unbelief.
Hey, and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.